Amen. If you're glad you're saved tonight, say amen.
Amen.
If you're real glad you're saved, look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Let's all stand together tonight, take your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Boy, didn't you enjoy the good singing tonight? Appreciate the good number here in the house of the Lord tonight. Say, preacher, this is a tabernacle. Well, I got news for you. Anywhere God's out, it's His house. I promise you that. And we're glad that you're here tonight. Thank you for being in the service. And I appreciate the invitation to be with you these couple nights. And boy, I tell you what, you've got some good preaching coming your way. And I know you're going to enjoy that. I believe Brother Leon's going to be with you tomorrow night. Is that right? And then Thursday and Friday, Brother Dagenhart. Amen. And then next week, Brother Stroud, Brother Shue. And listen, I'm telling you, amen, it's going to be good. And so I know you'll be blessed and encouraged through it. And I appreciate the opportunity that I have to be with you tonight. That thing is leaning, making me nervous. I'm going to put the top back on. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I want you to look, if you would, at verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 1. The Bible said, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag, had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city. And behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. Look at verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I want tonight for just a few moments to preach on a thought that the Lord impressed upon my heart some time ago on the subject of turning things around. Turning things around. Let's bow together and pray. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for the good singing we have already heard. Lord, the choir tonight was a blessing. Then, Lord, I want to thank you tonight for the trio that sung to us. And, Lord, those good old songs, Lord, that, Lord, remind me of what we are, just old-fashioned Christians. Lord, I thank you for those good songs tonight. Lord, I'm glad it gets better farther on. Lord, I love living. I enjoy this life. But Lord, I know that it gets better farther on, and for that, we thank you tonight. Lord, I pray you'll bless now the Word of God. Use it for your glory. We'll thank you for what you do in Christ's name. And all God's people said, you can be seated tonight. Amen. Boy, don't you love the Word of God? I appreciate the Lord tonight. And I believe that we can, through this Bible, find many places where we can find others go through things that can help us in our daily lives with God. Now, after pastoring some 34 years of my life, there is no doubt that I have seen many circumstances where many people have gone through many things in their lives. And when you think you have heard it all, something will come up and there'll be something that will happen that just sets people back, and they wonder sometimes where the Lord is. I like what one man said, one preacher years ago, said, when you can't track Him, you can still trust Him. How many of you are glad of that tonight? I'm glad when you can track Him, you can still trust Him. Amen. The dear man of God years ago on the truck driver special and others you might hear would say something like this: somewhere standing in the shadows, you'll find God. I'm glad He doesn't leave me or forsake me, but He's a very present help in my time of need. Amen. I don't believe there was anybody in the Bible that had a bigger heart for God than David. But I also believe that David had a lot of things about his life that were very unstable. But there's one thing about David. I believe that David loved God. I believe that David wanted to please the Lord. And I believe that David wanted to do right. David and his mighty men in this passage, those men that were with him, had gone out to do those things that they do. And when they came back, they found out that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag had smitten Ziklag and had burned it with fire. And all of David's family and all of the kids, all of the women had been taken captive. If you might wonder, why were they taken captive and were they not killed? I believe simply because I believe that the Amalekites wanted to rub everything they could in David's face. I think they wanted David to feel every pain, every sorrow, and everything that they could get him to go through. Now, you know something about David. You know that David didn't take a whole lot. If David got mad, David would go out and David would take care of business. Amen. Hey, David was one that sword didn't depart out of his house. And David was not afraid to deal with what he had to deal with. But what I want to really focus on is I want you to think about when David came back and his men came back, and they came back to the circumstances that they found. And the Bible says that David was greatly distressed. He was greatly distressed. Bible says the people were going to turn on him. And all of them were wondering, where in the world was God? And why wasn't God touching David and helping us in this time? And the Bible says David was distressed. Can I tell you this tonight? And I mean this tonight. Listen, I'm convinced tonight that the devil's turned up the heat on God's people. I believe the devil. Look, I don't believe the devil's omniscient. I don't believe the devil knows everything. But I'm going to tell you this. I believe he knows his days are numbered. I believe he knows there are things falling in place. I believe he knows that Jesus is going to step out one day and he's going to come get his church and take us all home to be with him. And by the way, I say hallelujah to that. If he'd come, I say even so, come Lord Jesus. But I want to say this to you tonight. In knowing that day, David comes back, the Bible says David was greatly distressed. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had a day or a time in your life when it seemed like everything turned upside down? The Bible says in the life of Job, there came a day in the life of Job. Friend, listen, I don't know about you, but I love living on the mountaintop. I love getting up shouting through the day, shouting at night. I enjoy that kind of life. But the Bible says that man's days are few and full of trouble. And we know tonight that we all going to have to face times when we just need God to turn things around in our life. Amen. Matter of fact, some of you probably come to this camp meeting. When you come to this camp meeting right here this week, you come in this place, boy, you need God to turn things around. You need God to work in a certain situation. Or you need God to move in a certain way. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, friend, God's still on the throne. God is still able. Somebody help me tonight. Hey, aren't you glad God's still able? Aren't you glad God's still on the throne? Aren't you glad that God has still got it in control? I told somebody we got the wrong picture of God. God's not sitting on the throne and twiddling his his fingers and popping a Valium pill and worried about a thing. Honey, he was God then and he's God now. He's still in control and nothing has changed. Amen. The Bible goes on to tell us two things in this chapter. The Bible says one thing is that David encouraged himself in the Lord. I'll say more about that in a second. And the Bible also says that David recovered all. If you read that chapter, you'll find out David was, watch now, David was distressed. Then David encouraged himself in the Lord, and David recovered all. Amen? Hey, aren't you glad? Boy, don't that seem like a day in our life sometime? Sometime we're distressed, and we just got to get along with God. Maybe, hallelujah, I'm feeling like preaching now. Hey, maybe it's riding down the road in the car, and you listen to that song, or you listen to that preacher, or you turn on that radio station, and God put some song or some preaching in your heart, and boy, you were pretty distressed, but riding down the road by yourself, all of a sudden you start encouraging yourself in the Lord, and before you know it, buddy, the sun's coming up with healing in his wings, and God's turning things around in your life. Amen. The Bible tells us that David recovered all. I want you to notice for just a couple of moments how to turn a bad day into a good day. How to turn a bad time into a good time. Or, as I said that I'm preaching, on simply turning things around. Hey, we can decide that we're going to stay defeated. We can decide that we're just going to walk around with our head down and tripping over our chin and walking around. Friend, listen, we're children of God. Hey, we have the Lord on our side. And I know sometimes we weep. And the Bible says weep with those that weep. As our dear sister said about her sister, you don't understand things sometimes and your hearts are broke. But we do know this. We know that the God of heaven will do right. We know that God always does right. And we know that God is in control. And as I said last night, I'll say it again, friend. I want you to know this tonight, that my worst day serving God is better than the best day I ever had out in this world. And God has been good to me. And God has blessed me in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I want you to notice, if you would tonight, that the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. If you'll listen with me about the next 15 minutes, I want to give you a few things here on how you can turn things around in your life. Look back at 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 8. Lord have mercy, this is good right here. Now watch. The Bible said, and David, are you ready? Inquired at the Lord. David inquired at the Lord. You say, preacher, how do you turn things around in your life? Number one, you look to God. Amen. You look to God. Hey, can I tell you what a lot of people are doing? Listen, you men of God here tonight, all of you sitting around here, you on this platform, myself as well, we've seen it time and time and time again. We got people in our churches, as long as things are going well, boy, they're there. As long as things are going well, oh, they say, preacher, we love the Lord and we love church. But then things go a little south and things go the other way. And sometimes they turn to other stuff and they get out of church and they get away from God. Friend, that's not the time to turn away from the Lord. That's the time to turn to the Lord. You know what David did? David inquired of the Lord. Amen. He looked to God. He looked to God. You know why David looked to God? Because nobody else could fix it. Amen. You know why David looked to God? He looked to God because he knew that God had never forsaken him, that God had never let him down. He knew that God was the only way to go. Hey, it wasn't time to turn to a bottle. It wasn't time to turn back to the honky-tonk. It wasn't time to turn away from church. Friend, when things aren't going the way you think they ought to go, you ought to make a beeline to the altar. You ought to make a beeline to God and say, God, this is bigger than I am. I can't handle it, but God, you can. He looked to God. Amen. Now I want to say this to you tonight. I know, and this verse is quoted. If you've heard me preach, it's probably been one of my pet peeves for years. This verse is quoted on, God won't put more on you than you're able to bear. Now that's wonderful. But that verse is taken so out of context. If you study the Word of God, you'll find out that Bible's talking about temptation and God will make a way of escape. I'm going to say something to all of you right now. And preacher, I mean this. I've had more on me many a time in my life than I was able to bear. I've had it on me in the... Lord, somebody help me now. I've had it on me in the midnight hour. I've had it on me when I felt like pulling the covers over my head and just said, I'm not even getting out of bed today. I've had it in my life when I almost felt like I wanted to lay my Bible down and say, buddy, that's it. I'm going this as far as I can go. But you know what? God would never let me do that. Because like old Jeremiah, there's something inside of me. Hey, it's burning on the inside of me. I can't get away from it. And I know God's in control and God's on the throne. Amen. Oh, the Bible said David looked to God. Amen. A lot of people look to somebody else. A lot of people try to look. Listen, I'm glad you got a preacher you can pray with you. I'm glad you got friends that love God can pray with you. But I got news for you. There's a whole lot of things a preacher can't fix. There's a whole lot of things your friends can't fix. But I'm glad, friend, there's nothing too hard for God. I'm glad He's a big God and He's able to fix it and He can fix it. And there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. Number two, don't have a 3 points. Hold on now. Amen. I'm not a preacher that keeps you a long time, I'm telling you. Number two, watch now. He looked to God. Number two, go back to our text. The Bible said David was greatly distressed. The Bible says that David inquired of the Lord in verse 8. Then he said, shall I pursue this truth? Now I want you to watch. Brother Tim, not only did he look to God, but he waited on the leading of God. My daddy used to say it like this. He'd say, son, quit putting the cart in front of the horse. Y'all ever heard that? Amen. You know what I found out in my life, Brother Mabe? You know what I found out in my life? I found out the more stuff I try to fix, the more I break. Amen. I'm telling you, you know when I'm dangerous, you give me a set of tools and something to work on in the garage, and for long I'll be hitting the wall with them. When do I have to come out there and fix a lawnmower? Because I'm so mad I can't even do nothing with it. If I could lose my salvation, I probably would have. I'm so mad and upset about it. Hey, I'm telling you, I try to fix stuff, and all I do sometimes is make it worse. Amen. I took my mountain bike in today. My gears were messed up on it. And I help at a shop there, a friend of mine, just a few hours a week, just like being around. I like getting stuff for free, you know. And anyway, I help him out a little bit. He owns a bicycle shop. And my mountain bike wasn't doing right. And I took it in today, and I was over there fumbling with it. He said, Chris, just leave that alone. I'll be over there in a minute. You know what he said? He said, if you'd left that thing alone out in the woods, it wouldn't be near the mess it is now. He said, I told you, if you ever have a problem with it, I'll wait and bring it to me and quit turning all it. Hey, I think if it ain't working right, I'm going to turn something. Amen. I'm going to figure out something ain't right here. So I start turning stuff. The problem is I start turning the wrong stuff and I go the wrong way and I make it, help me now, I make it worse than it was before. Hey, how many times have we done that as a child of God? Amen. You know what we want to do? We want to fix it. That's what we want to do. Oh boy, when them Amalekites come and them Amalekites done mess things up, we ready to grab our sword, grab our Daisy BB gun, hey, grab our shotgun, and we're ready to go after them, and we're ready to wipe them out. And hey, what David did was pretty smart. You know what David did? First thing, he looked to God. But the second thing he did is he waited on the leading of God. Amen. Can I tell y'all this? I think, I've been pastor a long time and I've never done this. But I think I'm getting ready to start a new part of my ministry. I'm getting ready to charge people when I cancel them, separate from my salary. Y'all don't even want to laugh because you think that preacher's crazy. But here's the deal. If they come to me and they say, "Preacher, we need some advice." They came to me. Right? I didn't go to them. They came to me. Right? I'm depressed enough. I didn't go to them. They came to me. And when they come to me, if I give them Bible advice and they go out and do it, it's free. But if you come and take an hour of my time or 2 hours of my life and won't help, and as soon as you walk out of my office, you're going to go do what you want to do anyway, and you ain't never going to listen to God, and you ain't never going to listen to the preacher, I'm going to charge you $29.95. Amen? Hey, I'm telling you, friend, we got to learn. We got to let God fix things instead of trying to fix it ourselves. Amen. I meet Christians. I got men trying to fix their wife. I looked at them and said, "Man, you can't fix her." You can forget that. Hey, man. I've seen it vice versa, too. I've seen women say, "Oh, preacher, I got to straighten him out." You can forget that. You ought to thought about that before you married the bozo. Say amen right there. Amen. Hey, I'm talking about the leading of God. You know what David did, preacher? David sought God for directions on what he ought to do. And David waited on God. And if you're going to turn things around in your life, you got to look to him. Then you got to listen to him. Amen. This is free tonight just because I'm a pastor. But David is never, listen, God is never going to lead you in a direction that is contrary to His Word. Amen? Well, preacher, I've been going through a whole lot of things, and I don't know, I guess maybe I ought to find me another church. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Ain't got nothing to do with the church. Ain't got nothing to do with that. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got trouble. What you got to realize in your life is this. When you have those days like David had, that ain't the time to run. That ain't the time to tuck tail. That ain't the time to quit. Hey, that's the time to say, "Lord, I'm just going to look to you and let you lead me in my life." Amen. Am I telling you right or not? I believe in it, don't you? I believe we've got to wait on the leading of God in our lives. That's right. I've seen people try to fix stuff. Amen. Amen. I've seen them try to fix stuff. You know what I've learned to do when something's broke? Take it to the expert. Amen. Take it to somebody that knows how to fix stuff. Whoop! Guess what? I'm glad you and I got somebody. I'm glad we got somebody. Buddy, he's been fixing. Lord, have mercy. I wish y'all would help me. I'd preach. Hey, he's been fixing things for a long time. Honey, you were broke one day and he fixed you. I was broke and he fixed me. He's still working on us. There ain't nothing God can't fix. Amen. That's point number two. We're at three and I ain't got no more. Amen. I want you to see, first of all, now watch this. He looked to God. Let me ask you a question tonight. If you're going through something in your life, you got your eyes in the right direction. You're looking to the Lord tonight. He looked to God. Number two, he followed the leading of God. Now I want you to look on over in the chapter. Look at verse number 18. You know what happened? God said, "Go get them." I like how God said that. David looked at God, and David said, "Shall I pursue after this troop, and shall I overtake them?" David didn't have a problem knowing he's going to whoop them. David's hot, buddy. He wasn't going into that fight to come in second. Amen. He's going to take care of it. He said, "Shall I pursue?" And I like what God said to him, "Pursue." Amen. Oh, listen, when you get that, he said, "Pursue." He said, "David, go after them." Amen. Now look back at this. Look at verse number 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. David rescued his two wives. That was really probably one of David's problems, even the two wives thing. Two wives comes with two mother-in-laws. Lord, have mercy. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything they had taken to them. David recovered all. David took all the flocks and the herds that they drave before those other cattle and said, "This is David's spoil." And you'll find out there's one other thing David did. Not only did David look to God, not only did David find the leading of God, but David kept on living for God. Amen. You get to the end of the chapter, he's still living for God. You know what? It's going to be hard one day when it's all said and done for us to have to stand before the Lord. And for us, when we stand before God, try to give excuses on why we didn't keep living for Him. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, friend. All He's done for us, hey, listen, we don't have no choice. We need to live for Him. Can I get a witness tonight? Oh, preacher, but you don't know. You just don't know. Listen, I may not know, but I do know this. I do know tonight that living for God's the best life. I promise you that. You know what I tell people all the time, Brother Rick? Don't feel sorry for me. A lot of the world thinks we're missing out and we're not enjoying this, enjoying that. Friend, I'm having the time of my life. Amen? I've enjoyed the journey from that night halfway down the aisle of 17 when I got saved to right here under this tabernacle at 55 years old. It's been the best life that I've ever lived. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I enjoy living for God. I enjoy preaching. I enjoy pastoring my church. I enjoy my family. I enjoy the blessings God's given me in my life. I enjoy that. Amen. Listen, he just kept on living for God. Let me ask you a question. If you don't, where are you going to go to? Where are you going to go? There's nowhere to go. That's how you turn things around. Amen. I guarantee you, listen, y'all are people just like I'm people. People's is people. Say amen right there. When we come in here tonight, every one of us got stuff we deal with. Every single one of us. Amen. I tell preachers everywhere I go. I had one preacher come to me one time, and he was trying to be kind of funny, you know, and he said, preacher, he said, he was up at our meeting. He said, preacher, he said, boy, you got one of these rocking chair churches. Well, I had no idea what he meant. I said, rocking chair church? He said, yeah. I said, well, you can look around here. He said, I bet you just kick back and enjoy it all, don't you? What he thought was, is I never had any problems. Never had any problem. You know, never had Sister Wiggle Jaw. Never had Brother Blow Hard. Never had people quit. Everybody loves me. I told him, I said, man, you crazy. I said, let me tell you something. It's different faces, but it's still the same stuff. Amen. You know why? Because people are people. I mean, we got to deal with it. Amen. But you know what I made up my mind? Somebody help me right here. I'm not living my life for that person. I'm not living my life for somebody else. I'm living my life for the one that saved me by His grace, washed me in His blood, and one day is going to take me home. Friend, I think I'll just live for Jesus. Amen. We all got stuff we deal with. Say, preacher, why are you preaching down there? Because it's cooler than it is up there. And dude's up there taking all the oxygen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's warm up here, ain't it? Y'all breathing. Three of us breathing. We taking it all out of this place. Amen. I want you to think about it tonight. We got to look to Him. We got to let Him lead us. And we've got to keep living for Him. And I promise you, if you'll do that, you can turn things around. David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in what? The Lord. Amen. Sometimes you just got to have your own camp meeting. You know? Right? Well, preacher, you just don't understand. Listen, I'll tell you what you do. Sometime when that stuff's got you a little overwhelmed, get in your prayer closet wherever you pray. Don't ask Him to fix it. Don't even talk about it. Just begin to brag on everything He is. Begin to brag on what all He's done for you. Begin to brag on all that. For you know it, buddy, you'll be having jubilee right where you're at. And God will be stirring your soul. Why? He inhabits the praise of His people. We have to look to Him, let Him lead us. And we have to keep living for Him. And if you'll do that tonight, He can turn things around. Amen. You say, preacher, does it always go good in your life? Well, no, but I'll tell you this. For the most part, yes. I mean, you know, we amplify the bad. But let's just be honest. Look at your life. Amen? If you look at your life, all your good far outweighs the bad. We just amplify the bad because it hurts us, and it should. You know, I'm a pastor. I'm a human being. I don't like to go through those times. None of us do. But I'm telling you, the good outweighs the bad. Amen. I promise you this, it really does. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, boy, I need for God to turn things around." Well, I'm going to tell you how you can do it. Number one, look for Him. Number two, let Him lead. Don't get in the way. You remember what He told those priests? He told those people they're going to cross the Red Sea? Or was it Jordan? I'm trying to think. He said, "Don't you move until that ark and them priests move." Until God, and that ark was a picture of the Lord's presence. Until that ark got in the water, he said, "Don't y'all move till God moves. Don't you move till God moves." Amen. Sometimes, have you ever got ahead of God? Oh, I forgot. I saw them halos and wings last night. But let me just say this. Y'all pray for me because, Lord, so many times. I feel so sorry for them churches. Well, I only pastored two in my life, one 14 years and now 17 at this one and other in evangelism. But can I tell you this? I feel so sorry for them people that started with me. I was young and dumb. And you know what I do a whole lot of times? I try to fix people. I try to fix situations. And all I'd ever do is make it worse. And then one day I realized, you know what? Maybe God would be better at this than me. Amen. Right? I'll be honest with you. Some people, God's the only one can fix them. Amen. I mean, listen, I'm convinced that some people have to work real hard to be as miserable as they are. I don't believe you can be that miserable on purpose. I believe it's got to be on purpose. Amen. Right? You can't fix everything, but God can fix it. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. Amen. You guys have been great to preach to. Thank you for allowing me to be here these couple nights. I want to ask you a question tonight. If you knew something tonight, you'd love to see God turn around. Maybe while I was preaching that, you thought about something. Boy, I'd love to see God turn around. Love to see God turn that around. Would you be willing to look to the Lord? You know, I guess when we say look to the Lord, we're talking about praying, reading His Word, being in church, being around God's people like you are tonight. Right? Just look to God. Boy, I'd love to see God turn that around, preacher. Just look to God. And then tonight, would you be willing to let Him lead? Would you let Him lead? However He leads you. What's that song? I believe, Brother Tim, "Where He Leads, I Will Follow." Let Him lead, Brother Rick. And then would you keep on living for Him? Last thing I want to do is quit on the Lord. Amen. And we're all subject to. Oh, listen, we're flesh, buddy. The only way we can do it is we have to keep living for Him. Ain't a greater life to live than live for God. Amen. Preacher, I don't know who you want to get to come. You want to have the piano for the invitation.